Welcome to the Amazing Data Podcast. Hello, everybody. We're kicking in with a brand new episode of our data and technology show, where we learn something new every day. But learning humans is yesterday's news. Learning machines, this is what is interesting. Our guide to the unknown is our today's guest, Kostas. Hi there. Would you mind giving us some introduction about you?
Hello, everyone. Thanks very much for hosting me, Xenia. My name is Kostas. I'm a machine learning, artificial intelligence, call it whatever you like, professional in London for the last 8-9 years now. I've been working in several industries the last 10 years or so, including retail, logistics, fintech, publishing, and so on and so forth. And for the last, say, 5 years or so, I've been mostly building and leading machine learning and machine learning engineering teams. And that's pretty much about everything about me.
Well, this actually wraps up so many things which sound, you know, kind of similar, but I do realize that they all kind of correspond to different things, basically because they're like a lot of buzzwords which exist out there in the press, in the talks, everywhere, that are often confused. I would have to confess something. For a really long period of time, I was thinking that machine learning and artificial intelligence are pretty much synonyms. In some process, I was so confused that they always come hand in hand. So from your perspective, are those entities that different or that similar? And what would be the main points how to distinguish them? How do you distinguish them in your work?
Okay, great. That's a great question. And thanks very much for asking that question, actually. I'll start with some kind of like a provocative opinion, if you will. There is no such thing as AI.
Oh,
right.
Oh, no.
Or at least like the way it has been, you know, like communicated, like you said, with buzzwords and so on and so forth. Academically, AI is there. It's a huge discipline, including things from machine learning, which machine learning is a very, very small subset of the general field of artificial intelligence. But it spans several, you know, like subfields, if you will, of, say, like searching, creating smart agents, natural language processing, understanding, planning, optimization, and all these, you know, like all these different disciplines are coming generally with under the umbrella term artificial intelligence.
In terms of what you are mentioning, the machine learning as the concept, as the process, as the approach, as the tool, as whatever word we can pick, is right now hugely involved into the complicated, very, very complex processes, which are for now already are outside of the human's brain and reach. So they are more complicated and hard to, you know, process on the speed that we would want it to. The question would be so that, okay, how can I actually understand that my process in terms of what I'm doing in the project or in the company, whatever, is getting that complicated that it's probably time to prepare some algorithm that would kind of take some of the burden from my shoulders and would execute part of the task for me and would do that efficiently and better than I would do?
Okay. Most of the times when business people are asking, you know, like for black box AI or machine learning, what they really mean, what they're after is efficient information retrieval. So you have essentially technology, information retrieval, machine learning, and maybe even natural language processing. Most of the times as machine learning engineers or data scientists or engineers in general, we're trying to optimize lengthy, kind of like tedious tasks in such a way that they're becoming much more efficient in terms, A, of what we're getting back as final results, but also in human labor. So a task that will involve, say, for example, 2 or 3 people, could be error prone and so on, and can take actually maybe like 2 or 3 days, can now be replaced very successfully with a machine, a system, that can actually give you the results back in minutes, say. And that's actually the core of most of the machine learning teams, businesses across the world.
Okay, I kind of get what I'm going to do here. I'm going to ask the most, like, you know, the top 20 stupid questions which exist in the world. So if we are working with the machines and we're trying to make them smarter, is there a risk that one day they will become so smart that they wouldn't want to cooperate with us anymore?
Yeah, maybe, but I can't see it happening like really soon. But as long as there is, I mean, like artificial general intelligence is kind of like a holy grail for the research community. But that implies certain things that haven't actually solved yet. The one thing is awareness. Another thing is how to actually translate and transfer physical knowledge, like things, very simple things that we were born and live with, that, like, say, the notion of gravity into machines and what that implies. Certain, you know, like memory, historical memories, and so on and so forth. Frankly, we don't have the technology or the mathematical tools to actually understand how the brain works at the moment for most of the stuff, let alone to actually get machines that smart to actually outsmart us.
Okay, thank you. Now I feel better and safer already.
Let me put it this way, right? So, like, the most successful machine learning AI algorithms these days are revolving around deep learning. Deep learning essentially is a technology that is like neural networks, essentially. It's like, you know, like 30 years or even like older than that technology. What changed like in the last 10 years and they're now so successful were technologies that have been invented like 40, 50 years ago, like gradient descent and chain rule from calculus and so on and so forth. But they are now applied in vast amounts of data because we now have the technology to actually generate and process that many data. There's nothing like magic around that.
I was just wondering, I've heard about such thing as process intelligence. So this is kind of using the data which is produced within the company to be used further to improve their inner work. So does that sound as something that can be used to prepare the algorithm? You know, like, for example, I run a huge company for more like, I don't know, 20 years, and I have thousands of workers all over the world. And I do realize that the market is changing very, very quickly, and I would like to adapt to it. So I would need to gather some insights from each and every place to do that the most efficient way. But I do not know how to, you know, like, approach that. So is there a way how I can prepare some kind of digital worker which would be helping around the offices to gather the insights, what exactly is important for this particular place? So that would also be evolving through time and giving me more information about what can be changed.
That's a great question again, and actually covers gazillion different topics.
Sorry.
No worries. Typically, what you're describing is the data-driven organization. Several businesses try to transform themselves into data-driven organizations. I can tell you most probably that most of them, like, gut feeling based on my personal experience, at least 90% of them failed miserably because of, you know, like, tech stack, access to data, quality of data, and politics at the end of the day. So when people are asking me, hey, Kostas, what do you think, what's the best way to essentially transform a business to be data-driven tech company? I'm saying, okay, guys, first things first, you need to be a top-down decision. You have to have, you know, like, C-level people, executive people, very, very well aware of what is going to happen and what that means to be data-driven, meaning at some point they have to actually let some of the, you know, like, decision-making power go. But that's part of being a leader, not a boss, right? And second, you have to have, you know, like, your engineering infrastructure ready for that kind of stuff. And also, you also have to make sure that you either have quality data or you have to have a strategy, long-term strategy, to collect this data.
Are there actually the fields or the occupations which are either traditional or traditionally manual or just been there for a really, really long time for which the implementation of more data-driven approach and machine learning algorithms being augmented into their processes is pretty much close to being impossible or extremely complicated and in the end might even not be worth it?
I mean, we've seen, like, especially in the last 20 years or so, that it's very, very easy for a business to get irrelevant because there's a huge disruption from some other super smart idea, and they're really, really cool cases about, you know, like, success stories. However, recent wisdom from pandemic and everything says that sometimes things are not that simple. I mean, I can give you a very nice example. There was, you know, like all this story, which is true actually, about like corporate banks being slow, not adapting to change and so on and so forth. And there was the concept of challenger banks, which things are much more, you know, like lean, and they are much more efficient. You don't even have to have, you know, like offices and buildings and so on and so forth. And here comes the pandemic. And the challenger banks are getting challenged themselves, right? Whereas the corporate banks, they don't even actually care. You know what I mean? I mean, it was much, much easier for, you know, like a challenger bank to adapt to change, like start from scratch as a tech company, adapt machine learning, data-driven process, and so on and so forth. Corporate banking goes, it's sometimes next to impossible to get access to all the data you need because they're siloed, they're huge organizations, they're already like, you know, like in finance and the banking domain, which comes with certain regulations and compliance rules and so on and so forth. So that makes it even harder. So they have to be, they were essentially a little bit back, like in technology. But like I said, life is weird sometimes and things happen. The fact that the corporate banks were a little bit more conservative about, you know, like the data, their adoption of machine learning and essentially strategies turned out to be a very good thing eventually. Being data-driven is extremely good as a business, but you also need to take into account that the data you see now is not the only data that we have. As we say in the machine learning community, you may have like a very small window of what you're seeing, and you might think that's all that there is. So you're overfitting a very small snapshot of reality. Things were reasonable. It doesn't by any means means that it's going to be like that forever. Any changes will happen and have to be expected.
So that perfectly leads us to the next thing. I would like to challenge you. So I will be giving you the names of the fields or professions or the occupations where to me, for example, as the person who is not that into the topic of machine learning, artificial intelligence, and augmented reality and all this complicated technologies which are working with the data, where it's not so obvious, but I am curious whether it's possible to use machine learning in them. So we're going to have 1 minute. Are you ready?
Yep, let's go.
Okay, so the first one. What if I want to use ML in brewery?
You again need to go back and taste like all of your ingredients, find, you know, like optimal mixes, collect data from, you know, like people to see what they like, what they're not, and so on and so forth.
Okay, what about using machine learning in cinematography, movie making?
Movie making, it's more or less the same. All the analytics from like billions of users can actually be used to see how things need to essentially materialize in a script or in a movie. Additional examples, you know, like the technology like deepfakes, you can actually put voice and face in pretty much everything. You can actually erase any character from the past.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What if I want to try and make ML in ritual services, like funerals and stuff?
That would be weird. But I don't know, like maybe, you know, like do recommendations about, you know, like funeral services and stuff like that. That can be thought as, you know, like machine learning. But that's a little bit weird one.
Okay. So that was it. Thank you very much.
Perfect.
In a conclusion, I would like you to think. So imagine you had an opportunity to talk to yourself, your younger self, when you were just entering the profession and you were just gaining experience, you know, like through a time portal or something. What would you want your young self to know what you know now?
Yeah, I mean, to be less, you know, like an engineering freak. I always, at the end of any system, task, projects you're making, there's going to be someone else who's going to be using it. And they're always much more important from what you think from an engineering perspective. Engineering perspective, it matters a lot because it can actually make your product much, much easier for someone else to use. But you always need to think, not as, you know, like by means of engineering, but by the means of the people who are going to be using what you're building. So yeah, that would be most probably what I would be saying to myself. I'm pretty certain that my younger self would be pushing back, but I...
Okay, so I guess that was it. Thank you very much for joining and for explaining such a complicated and tricky thing, which turned out we're already using for such a long time.
Thanks very much for the invite. I hope you find it useful. And yeah, thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
This has been another episode of L'Amazing Data Podcast. My name is Ksenia. Stay tuned for more awesome stories about data and have a great day.